outside. It had to be complete and perfect this first time, because he would not have the strength to try again. Not before August's body was burned. With a strangled cry of triumph, Angel made a tiny cut on the corpse's bottom lip, and he fell backwards as all tension left the blade, the constellation of venom and fire snapping into place, reverberating through the room with a deep, almost inaudible roll of sound. Arms numb, fingers tingling, Angel stood, sweat pouring down his temples and back. He sucked in some air and coughed, feeling as if all the strength in his body was draining out of his pores into the cold air. In a way, it was. August Remington! Friend, brother, son, lover, teacher, I call to you. Find your way back to life's remains. Hear me and obey. His words were ragged, but as clear as he could make them. He gripped the athame tighter and pointed it at the body, the constellation writhing, smokeless, and yet the air was thick with sulfur. The venom made the air bitter. An Angel stepped back to the body, holding the athame's point over the ravaged flesh where beneath a quiet heart lay. August, hear me and obey. Return to life's remains. He called to the echo, the vast emptiness he sensed within the body. He sent his words towards the place of nothing, the place all souls pass through when the body failed. The body was merely one place from which to access the nothingness beyond. But it was the surest way to recall the departed. The soul already knew the way. Angelus! A thin whisper, nothing more. It echoed about the room as sharp as ice, and far colder. The burning lines froze, then simmered, the flames dying down, becoming green embers that roiled and spit. The body was now more than connective tissue and flesh. It was no longer empty. A jerky and short inhale, muscles trying to function after hours of starvation and the flaccid state of decomposition. Enough air made it through a ravaged throat into lungs left silent, and the corpse that was once a living man named August opened its eyes. There are moments in Angel's life where he has perfect clarity, where the world is crystalline and bright, and every atom of existence can be recalled in exact form years later. And it was with a flash of deep regret that this became one of those moments. Heart heavy. Angel took a hand from the athame and cupped the bone-white cheek of the man he once called uncle and mentor. Hey, man. Been a while, he said softly, holding back his tears. The smile was strained, but Angel managed it. Dull, flat eyes swiveled and spun before locking on his own. The once brilliant blue reminiscent of dirty water. Where living eyes held a glimmer of emotion, these were truly dead, void of anything but a slim awareness. Do you know who I am? Angelus Salvatore, necromancer, my best friend's son, my student. August's spirit whispered past dry, cracked lips, the venom-burnt lower lip splitting with a twisted mockery of a smile. Angel? No. What have you done? I've done what you once warned me not to do, Angel said, his whisper full of the tears he refused to shed. A cool hand came to rest on the middle of his back, and Angel drew some small measure of strength from Simeon's offer of comfort. I'll risk it to avenge you, Uncle Augie. The old nickname slipped free before he could stop it, but it came naturally. A decade may have passed, but old emotions were still strong. Avenge me! Split lips cracked further, hellfire embers hissing. Hollow eyes that held the tiniest of awareness glimmered like a flame in the far distance. An Angel dug deeper, pouring more power into the dark constellation that kept August's spirit in this place and time. Vengeance for what? Where am I? City morgue in Boston, Augie. I've called you back. You got murdered, my old friend. Right in front of me, I might add. Can you tell me who killed you? Vampire! August's spirit stirred, the distant flame sparking brighter as if experiencing remembered terror from the moments before his last living breath were coming back, revisited on this side of the veil. The longer he held August's spirit here, the more the spirit would recall. And surely none of it was good. Yes, I know, Angel assured his old friend, holding August's face, imparting what comfort he could. Do you know the bastard's name? Can you tell me what happened?
Came for me at home, August replied,
Angel leaning closer, dry lips brushing his ear.
Took me from the street. Vampires. One old. Very old. Old world vampire. He had an accent. Still strong.
August would know, too. He had been a canny sorcerer, observant and intuitive. If he claimed one of his attackers to be an old vampire, then he was right. The average age of most vampires in the United States was around the 200 mark or younger, and any vampire older than that would be one of the rarer ones. The older generation of vampires escaped Europe during the Napoleonic Wars in the 1800s, and they came to America with the intent to claim territory and raise new clans. The strongest of them were rumored to be over 1,000 years old, like Boston's new master. The older the vampire, the more known they were, each year on this earth spreading their influence through fledglings and the human species' capacity for propagating urban legends down generations.
Why? Do you know who they were?
Yes.
Who was it, August?
Was it the new master of Boston?
It only made sense for Angel to ask, though if August had lived in Hartford for the last 10 years, he may not know who the new master was here in town. Even Angel had only seen him once, and never in person. A distant glimpse at Vamp HQ when he'd gone to cure the newest crop of fledglings sick from magic poisoning. A door creaked down the hall, taking Angel's attention from the questioning. Head turning to the door, Simeon moved so fast he was impossible to see. The door to the room they were in swaying shut as the elder went out into the hall. Trusting Simeon to handle whatever may be coming, Angel looked back to August, the hand holding the athame over August's heart shaking once with strain. He needed to hurry.
Who killed you, August?
Deimos,
August answered, the flickering flame in his dull eyes sporadically flaring before dimming. Angel wavered on his feet, beginning to feel the effects of severe power drain.
His name was Deimos.
Angel had no idea who that was, but he could find out. The door slammed open, Simeon appearing in a violent rush of fog, a man wearing a security guard uniform hanging limply from one hand. Simeon dropped him on the floor, where the man gave a disheartened groan and passed out, obviously in no fit state to do his job. Angel quirked a brow at the elder vamp, but Simeon was staring at the revenant, his face stricken.
Simeon!
What?
We're out of time, Mogra, Simeon said, breaking free of whatever state he'd been in and coming to Angel's side. The fog was noticed. The receptionist'll be raising the alarm once he realizes the guard won't be back.
Fuck! The coroner'll be back here next. The coroner was a wizard and was capable of giving Angel more than enough trouble. Not to mention he would be able to ID him to the authorities. Angel's face was well known here.
Angel?
Hey, Augie.
His lack of time and choices careened around in his head and heart, and the tears came even as he moved the athame closer to the corpse's chest. It was time to say goodbye. The revenant's eyes blazed, August's spirit clawing its way closer. More of the man he once was present in his lifeless eyes.
Forgive me for abandoning you. My guilt was too much. After Rain, he was my everything. Seeing you was like seeing him.
The love between August Remington and Rain Salvatore had always been part of Angel's life. He grew up in their shadow, the two men inseparable, even after Rain married and had kids. Angel closely resembled his father, and seeing him every day must have been too much for August to bear. Getting away from the surviving Salvatore boys was probably the only way August could function. Angel couldn't completely understand it, but he could forgive it.
It's okay, Augie. I get it. I'm not mad at you. I never was.
Angel whispered, pressing the athame's tip to the corpse's chest.
separating flesh. I swear I'll avenge you.
He wants you dead because of that night, Angel. He fears you,
the Revenant whispered, the spirit retreating, the dark constellation dying down to ash. Angel let his hellfire die with it. He had seconds left.
Deimos fears your power. Deimos wanted to know what I taught you, how you killed so many vampires at once that night. I refused to tell him how you did it, even when threatened with my death. I left him no choice but to kill me.
His mistake, Angel replied with a harsh whisper, thrusting blade through bone and muscle into the heart below. Rest, August. I'll see you again one day. The blade sliced through the heart, thrust to the hilt, and the dark constellation went out with a soft sigh and flicker of smoke. The lifeless eyes were empty. The spirit returned to its proper place, the body once again a collection of dead flesh and bone. Angel yanked the athame free, falling back against the wall of lockers, gasping for air. The drain on his reserves was cut, and his power rebounded back into him, and Angel battled for control. Fog writhed and twisted, and Angel heard voices yelling near the front of the building. Angel? Simeon said his name, and he could hear a touch of worry under the accent. Angel pushed off from the wall and grabbed the black leather rope, his hellfire surging along its length. Angel broke the fire-resistant spells in the woven thongs, and the leather burst into flame, falling to gray ashes in seconds. He needed to erase their presence and fast. At least enough that identifying who had been in here would be impossible. The venom and the dark constellation's remains might be traceable back to Angel, considering the rarity of the spell and ingredients. He had erroneously assumed that August would be autopsied by now and ready to be sent to the crematorium, and any evidence of his tampering would remain undiscovered and burnt with the body. Simeon, grab the body! Angel fed power to the fog, creating a white wall in the hallway that obscured all sight. He carefully repacked his bag, making sure the jars and athame were secure, before yanking open a line to the veil. They were already discovered. Now he had one last task to complete, and no time for subtlety. He knew the second the coroner sent his presence, as the alarms in the morgue went off, red lights flickering. Thankful, Simeon did as he asked, and the vampire hefted the corpse over his shoulder in a fireman's carry without any hint of squeamishness. Angel led the way to the hall, trusting in luck they wouldn't run into anyone standing in the mist. Voices, muffled by the fog, rose behind them as they jogged for the garage bay. It took them longer than he liked, but they made the parking lot. Sirens wailed in the distance, evidence someone called the police. He had to get at least a block, even two, away before his presence would be undetectable to the coroner. Angel ran, Simeon at his side, pulling a thick wall of fog around them as they regained the streets adjacent to the morgue, the sound of their passage swallowed by the mist. Angel led Simeon down side streets for almost 20 minutes, needing to look up at a corner to see the street signs to know for certain where they were. They were almost certainly out of range, and he opened the veil further, channeling more power into his core and making it his own. Rarely did he open himself so fully to the wild energy past the veil, but he needed to be at his best right now. Getting caught so soon hadn't been ideal, and he had no time to crash after that major spellcasting. Angel sighed in relief. They weren't that far from Beacon Hill in the Commons. Another 10 minutes. The city around them empty of all signs of life, human or otherwise. Trees rose from the fog and Angel ran faster, Simeon and his cargo silent at his side. Even in the dark of night and the wall of fog that cushioned them, Angel recognized the Commons, and they ran into the park. Central Burying Grounds! Hurry! Angel gasped out, deciding he would need to get back into swimming, his lungs burning from their rapid escape. Simeon, of course, showed zero signs of strain, even with the burden he carried. They took the winding paths towards the old cemetery, the dormant trees popping up out of the fog like specters. All practitioners were to be burned, ostensibly to keep the body safe from desecration by other magic users attempting to steal latent powers from the deceased. But it was also tradition, long-standing and ancient, dating back to the days when men cast spells with the bones of mammoths and wore cloaks made of dire wolf pelts. Casting the ashes on holy ground was another layer of protection preventing abuse of a deceased remains. It was what Angel did with his family. Not soon enough for Angel they made the cemetery. The short iron fence no match as Angel gripped the top and jumped over, his bag banging on his hip. Simeon was over before Angel even landed in the dead grass, and Angel pointed to a spot nearby, a few feet from the slim headstones. Simeon carefully put the body down in the wet, dead grass, and Angel took the elder's arm and pulled him away. One last thing to do. Angel turned his mind inward, and raw, wild, unfettered veil power surged up from his core, and he let it free, giving it one focus, one command. Death magic in its truest form, the consumption of life and matter, thought and desire. The mourning pyre was how all of Angel's kind used to depart this world, and never more true than for a necromancer. It was a bittersweet and heavy irony that Angel would be the one to light the pyre for his mentor, the man who taught him the spell in the first place. It was no longer common practice for the spell to be taught, with the onset of laws and government facilities taking over the disposal of human remains. Ignis luctus pyra, Angel cast, and with a sub-audible whoomf, the body burst into flame. Grass burned to a crisp in a short radius around the body, flames rising several feet into the air. It was an ancient spell, and once given a target, the mourning fire consumed it entirely, until nothing remained but ashes, feeding on the death magic. Chapter 8 Making Alibis. Angel. Huh? Angel stared at the makeshift pyre, mind lost to memory and flame. The grass was wet beneath his ass, his pants soaked in a few places. But he'd been too close to his limit and sitting down and catching his breath, not to mention settling his careening emotions, had been the wisest thing he'd decided in ages. Why did I steal his body? Simeon sat beside him, cross-legged and looking more than rumpled. His tux was stained from the body and the grass and their swift escape from the morgue. The vampire was still visually arresting and beyond appealing, his hair falling in a dashing manner over his brow, his green eyes catching the light from the falling fire, glittering like tiny shards of glass. August deserved a proper send-off, Angel muttered, eyes locked on the lowering flames. The fire, veil-fed, had quickly consumed August's remains, and all traces of Angel's casting gone with him. All that was left was a few stubborn pieces of blackened bone, but the morning fire was steadily eating away at it, and he wasn't going to get it from the authorities. Least I could do for the man who taught me most of what I know. And I figured we'd already broken a dozen laws resurrecting him. So what was a little body theft added on top? Simeon huffed a laugh, as if surprised Angel could find any humor in their situation. And Angel could see Simeon smiling at him out of the corner of his eye. Every day I see some new layer to you, Agra, and I find myself drawn in deeper each time. Simeon came closer until they sat hip to hip. Angel sighed, weary. While he was not tired in a magical sense, his connection to the veil still buzzing in the back of his mind and keeping him topped off, he was tired emotionally and mentally. His quiet life, while not exciting or full of affirming moments, had been all he knew for the last 10 years. Now a vampire he'd never met before, and never heard of, was coming for him. His quiet and boring life was unraveling, revealing a new pattern in the thread that he wasn't too pleased with. But there was no changing it. He was raised during the pinnacle of the Blood Wars. He was incapable of backing down from a mortal threat. Old, old habits were battling with his desire to keep his life quiet and uncomplicated. Angel dropped his head, resting it on Simeon's shoulder. The elder froze for a moment, as if afraid Angel would change his mind and pull away. But the longer Angel stayed there, the more the vampire relaxed. Angel's body heat seeped into Simeon, the vampire warming sharing the heat between them. The bones grayed to ash and crumbled apart, and the meager light cast off by the dying flames fell to darkness. Death magic consumed. The morning pyre went out. Human bodies, even sorcerers, had little in the way of death magic in their remains, and the morning fire always went out when the body was consumed, keeping collateral damage to a minimum. Unlike the undead. Angel cut off that dangerous thought before it could throw memories back in his face. Overhead, the moon and stars were obscured by gathering clouds and the growing fog, this time of nature's making. Darkness in the commons was extreme, even amidst the scattered iron lamps and the reflected glares from the high-rises. "Who is Deimos, Simeon?" Angel asked after long minutes of quiet contemplation. The vampire's face when the revenant spoke the name was bothering him. An angel could tell Simeon knew something. Simeon was silent. An angel could almost feel him thinking about whether or not to tell him anything. After a few minutes, Angel still leaning against the vampire, waiting patiently. Simeon spoke. "My master heard about what happened here when we moved the Blood Clan to Boston. About you and your family, I mean. Not many details to go on with the vampire slain, since supposedly none survived. But rumors abound. One rumor is that the clan destroyed was betrayed by one of the clan's legates." "You know this term?" Simeon asked, interrupting himself. "I do. It's the third rank in a Blood Clan hierarchy. Master, elder, legate, unranked masters, and then the clan soldiers, and then the average bloodsucker. The only name we heard aside from the families directly involved in the feud was Deimos, who betrayed his clan in exchange for wealth and magical powers gifted by the McAvoys. My master sent inquiries to Stonegate Prison where the members of the McAvoy clan, guilty of the attack on your family, are serving out their sentences. The one name they got back was Deimos, and that he had been a legate in a smaller Providence blood clan. He disappeared just before the attack on your family. The assumption was that the McAvoys, or one of the other families, killed him to prevent him from disclosing details of the attack before it could be enacted. No one knows if anyone else survived. And that name was the only one we got." Angel absorbed that bit of news, his body tensing for a moment before he consciously relaxed. "Forgive me, Ogre, for not telling you," Simeon whispered, head down, face in shadow. "I did not wish to pain you more in regards to your past. All we had was a name, nothing more." Angel stared ahead into the darkness, eyes unseeing, thinking. He should probably be mad, angry that Simeon never told him any of this. But then common sense kicked in. Why get mad when he made it so no one was willing to discuss with him the events surrounding his family and their murders? Not that he would react that badly, but he never volunteered to speak of it, and never encouraged people to speak to him if they did broach the subject. He shut down, emotionally and behaviorally. And really, what would he have done if Simeon had told him? Angel never went after the McAvoys after what they did, nor any of the other families. Knowing the name of a presumed dead traitor would have done nothing to change the fact his family was dead. And the traitor hadn't betrayed the Salvators, but his own kind and blood clan, and any retribution that was owed him would come from the vampires, not Angel. Simeon was quiet, as if waiting for Angel to blow up at him. Angel turned his head a bit and looked up at Simeon. "I'm not mad you didn't tell me. What would I have done with the knowledge? Not a thing, not then. But now I do know, and he is alive. This traitor, and coming for me for some reason. But why now? Why me? And why is he afraid of me? August said it was for what I did that night. Deimos wants to know what spell I used to destroy the army of the undead. Everyone with half a brain and no manners has wanted to know for the last decade. It makes sense for Deimos to want to know how you managed it that night. Such a spell would give the wielder great power. I suspect that is in part why no one has come after you. Fear of what you can do has kept enemies from your door, Simeon stated proudly. An angel smiled, surprising himself. Even my master is most curious, Ogra, though I've ignored his polite requests for me to ask you. He understands loss and grief, and was merely curious. Since they were requests, I did not need to press for answers. You're a big softy, aren't you? Angel asked, chuckling. I wondered why no one from the clan was asking me about it. I figured the master either didn't want me to demonstrate it, or wanted to be on my good side in case I felt the urge to do it again. You were protecting me, all along, weren't you?
Yes, Angel. Of course I was, Simeon said, simple and direct as if there was no other option. I will always protect you.
I believe you, Angel said, and he reached up with a gloved hand, fingers carding through thick auburn hair and tugging Simeon's head down. Their lips met, cold and wet, but the kiss quickly warmed. Angel kissed Simeon, doing his best to communicate how he was feeling. He was anything but mad. Need, want, desire, it was all one welling emotion, one instinct that kept telling him to take what Simeon was offering him. Love, affection, care. Not once in 2 years had Simeon been anything but gentle with him. Even when he was maintaining a polite distance, Simeon was looking out for him. Tongues touched briefly before Angel pulled back, and Simeon led him. He wanted to crawl back into Simeon's lap and stay there, sheltered from the world. He couldn't, but the desire to do so was strong. Why now? Why this? Right now and not then?
You mean Deimos?
Simeon whispered back, licking his lips, hands cradling Angel's face. No. Why us? This, between us. Why now and not the last 2 years?
I know you wanted me when we first met.
Hell, you had to notice I wanted you too.
Ah, yes. I was wondering when you'd ask me, Simeon said, arms going around Angel to pull him up and over his legs.
Angel sighed, but let Simeon hold him in his lap. The vamp had been able to read minds. Or maybe he just knew Angel well enough by now that Simeon could understand what he wanted.
So? You came that other night for Greg Doyle. You came in the middle of the night, nearly naked and exhausted, ready to commit murder, you were so mad. But you came anyway. For him and the love your brother has for him, yes. But also for us. It was at my behest that you came that night. And you were there instantly. The last 2 years at my urging, my master has let you come and go freely from our headquarters, tending to our foolish young and helping him. You never asked for anything in return. Even when my master offered to pay you for your skill and time. You came because they were sick and needed help. You saved Mr. Doyle and exhausted yourself for us. Then you leaned on me and trusted me to keep you safe. I knew then that whatever hesitancy you had toward me, be it my nature or me personally, had worn down enough for me to show you how I truly felt without you withdrawn further. Angel blinked up at Simeon, whose features were hidden in the dark, eyes catching the slim light that filtered through clouds and mist to where they sat. I have lived 400 years, my love. 2 years to earn your trust was a price I was more than willing to pay. Angel grinned, and his cheeks grew warm.
Oh. Simeon laughed. It was a smooth rumble of delight that slid through Angel's body and settled in his bones. Angel chuckled with him and he put his arm around Simeon's neck and hugged him. Simeon hugged him back, and they held each other in the darkness.
Are we going to need an alibi for tonight?
Simeon asked after a long silence.
Oh, hell yeah, we are. Me at least, for sure. They won't know you were here unless that guard can ID you.
No, he did not see my face. He may have heard you use my name, but it's doubtful.
He most likely has a severe concussion. Any ideas, then? I was just going to head home and bluff my way through this. But I don't think the BPD will buy it. I wasn't planning on adding body theft to my list of felonies tonight. I erroneously assumed that August would have been prepped for cremation already, or at least autopsied, and no one would notice my spell work. Stealing August's remains will lead them right to my doorstep. I was the one to ID him.
I have an idea then, my love, Simeon said, kissing Angel's on the lips, a hint of Fang making him shiver. We need an alibi, and I can provide one. Shall we go?
What? Angel asked, suspicious. His place would be safer, considering his wards and the sunlight runes on the windows. But the cops would probably come armed with a warrant and break down the door. Depending who they had on their practitioner payroll, they may or may not be able to get through his wards. He would know if the wards fell, but he didn't want to be there if the cops showed up. They wouldn't find anything in his place that could be used in a resurrection, but that didn't mean the cops wouldn't look everywhere, destroying his things and making a fucking mess.
Where's your courage? Simeon asked with a grin that Angel could feel against his lips, and he growled in reply.
Simeon held Angel tight about the waist and stood up, smooth and sexy and without a stagger. Angel gave a short laugh, appreciating the solid strength in the elder's frame. He never enjoyed being manhandled, but with Simeon it wasn't as annoying as it could be. In fact, it wasn't annoying at all. Not that he would ever say so. He gave Simeon a sneer, fighting back a smile, and winked. Simeon saw it and growled, teeth clenched, fangs glinting in the low light.
Fine. Let's go. I'll show you courage.
You have already, my love. The walk to the edge of the park was done in silence. Angel's hand and Simeon's. The elder made a call and they waited in the shadow of a bare-limbed oak for 10 minutes, until a sleek black limousine pulled up to the curb. The street was empty, dark, and the rain forecasted finally began to fall in heavy sheets as Angel got in the back, Simeon sliding in behind him and shutting the door. The muffled sound of the rain falling on the roof of the limo and the sluicing of tires through puddles lulled Angel into a detached calm. Simeon went back to holding his hand. An Angel, in one part of his mind, was amused by how rapidly the vampire's hand warmed in his own. It was as if the vampire was aluminum, absorbing heat rapidly, then losing it just as fast once removed from the source of heat. "Why were you in a tux again?" Angel asked, eyeing the rumpled and stained ensemble Simeon still wore. He would have given Simeon something clean to wear before they left his place, but Simeon was a foot taller than he was and outweighed him by a lot, and none of his clothes would have fit the elder.
There was a welcome dinner for a visiting dignitary from the Atlanta Blood Clan, an older master with 8 rank but many fledglings and substantial wealth, wishes to join our clan. The other night was merely an informal function, where the foreign master presented his tithes and his request to join our clan. There will be a gala tomorrow night, when my master either accepts or declines his request to join.
Simeon looked down at Angel, and shook his head as Angel opened his mouth to question him.
That was my thought as well. The vampire demon Deimos is, according to your departed comrade, an older vampire. What are the odds of 2 old vampires coming into Boston in the same week? Yet William Bridgerton is known to my master, and has been a member of Atlanta's blood clan for the last 100 years.
Shit, Angel cursed. That would have been too easy. Though that didn't really discount Bridgerton from being Deimos. The older the vamp, the more names they had.
He kicked back and slouched on the butter-smooth leather seat, and his head found Simeon's shoulder on its own. And he thought about it. Maybe one of his fledglings? Or entourage? Old masters travel with those, yeah?
Yes. Bridgerton has an honor guard, and blood donors, along with his eldest fledglings. One of them may be the one we seek. I can discreetly inquire.
Simeon was quiet for a moment,
then seemed to make a decision to continue, his tone cautious. They're all staying at Blood Clan headquarters, my love. They will also be present at the gala. I was going to invite you if you took to my courtship favorably. Do you wish to go somewhere else in case the one hunting you is there? I grew up in the middle of a war, Angel scoffed, chuckling. I never run from a fight or a vampire. A party, though. I hate parties. But I'll not run. I'm not about to do it now. Bring it on. If Deimos is there, then I'll offer my apologies to your master after I've made a mess. Angel must have dozed off, as he came to when the limo entered the underground parking garage used by the vampires who lived in the tower. Simeon lifted his arm from Angel's shoulders, and Angel hid a smile. What a difference a few days in a life-threatening situation make. It was Angel's first time in the tower, as the high-rise attached to Vamp HQ was nicknamed. The elevator from the underground garage had its own guards, in the car and outside the doors of each floor. Angel recognized the guards as vampires right away, which was logical since it was still night, and the daytime guards were probably human. Dressed in nondescript black suits and earbuds, and an intimidating bulge under their arms from weapons, they made an impressive sight. Angel was watching the guard in the elevator from the corner of his eye, and saw the vamp tense when he got a good look at who exactly his elder was with. Most vamps in Simeon's blood clan now knew Angel on sight after the last 2 years. Simeon put a hand on Angel's shoulder, possessively in a clear sign for the guard, and the vamp relaxed with an abrupt nod, moving away from the floor panel. Simeon keyed his floor in by pressing his free hand flat on a sensor pad, and that lit up the numbered floor buttons on the panel, and Simeon then hit the button for the 9th floor. Not the penthouse, but the next level down. The penthouse was for the master then, and as Simeon was an elder, it made sense his room would be on the floor below. Or suite, as it turned out. Angel lost his brows and his hairline when Simeon escorted him into the foyer of an impressive suite, marble walls with gray veins snaking through them, and brass lines cut through shiny black tiles gave a cool yet oddly welcoming impression. And the walls were covered in oil paintings, many of which Angel could guesstimate to be worth an absurd amount of money. The foyer opened up into a wide living space, the rug a deep red, the furniture a soft buttercream that balanced out the dark hue of the carpet. A spacious seating area was strewn with chaise longue and low, wide couches, and deep recliners big enough to hold more than one person. It was obvious that the space was meant for entertaining, and from the faint depressions on the cushions, it was occupied often. Simeon was an elder and over 4 centuries old. He probably had fledglings of his own, and numerous blood donors. Unless he drank from bagged blood units. But somehow Angel had trouble seeing Simeon doing that. Angel gave Simeon a weak smile, realizing that while the elder knew almost everything about him, he knew so little about Simeon. The disparity was jarring and made him feel selfish. He banished it as best he could. He had a feeling where the night was heading, and feeling guilty was not the best way to make a decision.
Pardon me. Agra, I must change. The bar is along the wall. Please help yourself. I will be back shortly.
Simeon murmured with a short bow of his shoulders, before slinking out of the room. Angel followed Simeon deeper into the living space, before stepping next to a long, low couch. He examined it suspiciously before sitting, and was surprised by how comfortable it was. Considering the overt wealth of his surroundings, he could well imagine all the seating was much the same. He would bet the beds were even more luxurious. Just thinking about the bed somewhere in the suite sent his eyes searching for Simeon. The elder had vanished into the depths of the rooms. An angel closed his hands fist tight, his thighs tensing. He was alone with Simeon, in the elder's space, in the depths of Vamp HQ. He may be safe from being bitten, but not against physical violence or human blood slaves. He was trusting Simeon now more than he had ever done before. If he was forced to defend himself, Angel had doubts he would be able to get out without casualties and collateral damage. Simeon was an elder, but that meant nothing if the master, whom Angel had never dealt with directly, objected to a necromancer's presence in his domain. Simeon was honor-bound by the master. If Simeon was ordered to act against Angel in any way, Angel worried which side the elder might choose. Simeon could speak of love and call him all the endearments he wished, but Angel was too wary to not, at least, think about the worst outcomes of his sleepover. The other part of him, the quiet and reserved man who spent his nights alone, and his heart guarded behind precision, sarcasm, and snark, kept finding his focus sliding from exit strategies to a mental image of himself naked on satin sheets, fingers clawing at Simeon's pale shoulders as the vampire drove into his body over and over, pinning him to the mattress with his cock and hands. Ages since he last got off without involving his right hand, Angel cursed under his breath when his cock hardened, painfully pushing up against his zipper, and his heart began to beat with an eager tempo. Mentally castigating himself for winging his plans and ending up in a position where he would be forced to make a decision. Whether a relationship with another man, let alone a powerful vampire, was something he could do. He didn't do relationships. They were outside of his experience. Simeon's regard, if sincere, and he had no reason to doubt it wasn't, left him with a very clear impression that the vampire cared for him deeply. Maybe even to the point of love. Surely that meant a relationship. Something more permanent than the meager exchange of first names and a decision on who was bottoming for the night. Angel needed to decide if that was something he could give Simeon. If he could give himself to such a depth. His body was an easy answer, but giving his heart to another left him as terrified as it did needy. A keen sense of want ran through his chest, making his eyes sting. He wanted, despite his best efforts, to lean his head, heart and troubles, on the broad and strong shoulders of the elder vampire, and just let himself simply exist. A fine layer of sweat gathered on his brow, and his pulse danced merrily as his thoughts went increasingly haywire with lust. His fingertips were buzzing, and Angel breathed in slow and even, eyes locked on the door, trying to control himself. Making a decision in his current state was such a bad idea.
I hear your heart racing, Angel. Such a furious pace and your scent set my nerves aflame.
Simeon spoke quietly from nearby.
Will you look at me, my love?
Angel looked up at Simeon and nearly swallowed his tongue. The elder wore a simple black tee that hugged every ridge and bulge of carved muscle, and the pajama pants he wore were dark gray and silky, clinging to his lean hips and powerful thighs, perfectly outlining the bulge at his groin. Barefoot and sexy, the vampire padded across the thick carpet, coming to stand just out of reach of where Angel sat. Angel lost whatever words he was going to speak, his tongue refusing to cooperate. His body knew what it wanted. His heart did, too. It was his mind that left him struggling.
Yes?
Simeon asked softly, hands resting at his sides, green eyes bright, a patient smile on his lips.
Did you mean it? What you said about your heart being mine? Did you mean it, Simeon?
Angel asked and winced. Tears came, stinging his eyes, yet he clung to what control he had left. Despite his tongue blurting out the question his heart wanted to hear the answer to.
Angelus Salvatore, I lost my heart to you the moment you threatened my life. So brave, so capable and enticing.
Simeon replied, a smile lifting a corner of his mouth, a shiny fang glinting.
I meant what I said earlier as well. I have lived a very long time. And 2 years were nothing to wait when the prize was your heart in return.
Angel pressed a hand to his mouth, breathing hard through his nose. His own heart was screaming at him to get up, to take what was offered and never let go. What holds you back, my love? You're so torn, it pains me. Tell me what holds you back when you clearly want the same as I do. Is it because I'm a vampire?
Yes!
Angel shouted, face burning, hands coming away from his mouth as if searching for something to hold. Simeon took a step back, shocked by his outburst. Do you hate my kind so much? For what was done to your family? Simeon whispered, handsome visage torn by pain and regret. Simeon's pain spurred his own, and Angel couldn't stop himself from speaking.
No, no, Simeon!
Angel stood, at last, hand outstretched to Simeon, hoping the elder would take it. I don't hate your kind. Those that came for us that night were all enslaved, their wills stripped. Vampires were not my enemies then, and your people are not mine now.
Then explain. Please, love.
Simeon took the hand Angel held out, his cool, strong fingers squeezing hard, giving him something to focus on. It is a matter of hate, but not mine for your kind. How can you not hate me? Why don't you hate me for what I did? Finally voicing his innermost regret ripped a hole in his control, and his other hand came up, seeking comfort. The vampire pulled him forward, and Angel found himself in a powerful, all-encompassing embrace, shielding him from the world.
Hate you? How could I hate you? Simeon asked urgently, lips brushing the top of Angel's ear.
Simeon hugged him, and Angel snaked his arms around Simeon's torso, letting himself cling.
A combined 46 humans died that night, between mundane humans and my family. I killed over 100 vampires before the sun came up the next morning.
Angel gasped out, burying his face in Simeon's shoulder. His voice was muffled, but he had no doubt Simeon could hear him.
Sentient, feeling, soul-bearing lives were ended by magic and flame, and I was the instrument of their final deaths. Twice as many vampires died that night, and none of them were there of their own free will. Vampires across the whole city, hell, all of New England, hate and fear me for what I did that night. I scare them, Simeon. I see fear in their eyes when they look at me and hate. So much hate. I'm already persona non grata because I'm a necromancer, but my name is at the top of the most hated list. Your clan isn't as bad as it used to be, but I can still feel the fear and hate, even when I'm helping them. How can you not hate me too? I was raised in battle, in war, and I know in my mind that I had no choice, but I still did it. I killed over 100 vampires, and I did it with anger and vengeance in my heart.
Angel, Simeon voiced quietly.
So intensely his name was a rumble that shook his eardrums.
You did what you must to survive. Don't carry their deaths on your conscience. Those sent after you and yours were dying regardless, poisoned by the magic used to bind their wills. The second death you gave them all was self-defense and mercy in one. Anyone with a clear mind and an unbiased heart would see and feel the same as I. It is a miracle that you and your brother lived. Never regret that, my love. I don't, because you're here with me now because of it.
This town wants me either dead or gone, probably both. And those that don't want me dead want to know my secrets for their own gain.
He was stumbling now, mentally trying to rebuild his defenses. But it was a lost cause, and Simeon knew it too.
You have many enemies here in Boston.
Yes,
that is true. I will not argue that with you. What I can do is tell you the truth. My truth. What I feel for you is so far from hate. I cannot fathom you and that emotion in the same thought. My master does not hate you, nor does he fear you. You, my love, are under his protection as much as mine, and he knows how I feel about you. You have nothing to fear from the vampires of this blood clan. I swear it to you.
Angel turned his head and whispered against Simeon's neck.
And if your master changed his mind and ordered you to kill me, or take me prisoner, to force from me the secret of my victory that long ago night?
Simeon was quiet and motionless as a marble statue, cool and hard, not even a heartbeat breaking his immobile state. Angel strained but eventually heard his vampire's quiet reply.
Then I would defy my master and safeguard your life and freedom, even unto my own death.
Angel looked up and met Simeon's gaze. A hand's breadth apart, Angel searched clear emerald depths and found no deceit. Every wall came down, toppled by that vow. He felt free, agonized and alive. Every breath hurt and he ached, bone deep, wanting nothing more than to have his arms around Simeon and never let go.
Do you love me?
Angel whispered, no longer afraid to hear Simeon's answer.
Yes, Angel. Yes, I love you.
Kiss me then.
Angel lifted up on his toes, angling his chin, lips a breath away from Simeon's.
Kiss me and take me to bed, please.
The trip down the hall passed in a blur. Mouths fused together. Angel clung to Simeon as the vampire carried him to a bedroom. Angel landed on his back on a soft bed, the bedclothes cool and fresh-scented, spicy like cloves and chocolate, a hint of mint making him salivate and claw at Simeon's shirt, sliding his hands down to tug up the lower hem, kneading fingers on skin. Simeon rose over him, a knee opening Angel's thighs so the vampire could lower himself down, groin to groin, hard satin heat to cool stone length. Angel tore his mouth away and gasped for air, head back, hands tearing at Simeon's shirt and yanking it away, leaving Simeon's dark auburn hair in disarray and a smile on his pink lips, lips that slipped from his neck, tongue laving in a smooth glide down to suck on his collarbone. Hands slid up his thighs, under his arms, pushing them up and over his head, his wrists caught in an iron grip. A low whine escaped his throat, eyes blind with lust. Angel arched up into Simeon's touch when the elder held his wrists with one hand and sent the other to work undoing his clothing.
Touch me, please.
He didn't realize he was speaking until Simeon chuckled and dropped a brief but firm kiss on his lips, stalling his whispered begging. His weatherproof sweater went first, then his shirt, and somehow Angel found his hand stayed put above his head when Simeon let go and knelt up on the bed, yanking off his boots and jeans. Angel gave a long exhale of relief when his boxer briefs were peeled down his legs, Simeon manhandling him until he was naked and laying on his stomach. Hands still over his head, Angel gave a groan of approval when Simeon stripped as well and lowered his naked form back down on top of him, pushing him into the mattress. A jarring shock of cold, hard flesh settled in his ass crack, then quickly warmed. Angel lifted his hips, trying to encourage the vampire to put his rock-hard cock to excellent use in his ass.
You feel so good, Angel,
Simeon said between wet kisses to his back and shoulders, teeth nipping his skin in stinging bites without drawing blood. Angel twisted and tried to spread his legs, needing to feel Simeon inside of his body, holding him down. The vampire was gradually warming, reflecting back body heat, making him feel like he was on fire. He writhed on the satin smooth blanket beneath him, his cock leaving damp spots on the fabric, the shaft pulsing in time with his frantic heart.
Simeon, fuck me now!
Angel surged up from beneath Simeon when the vampire clamped his jaws around the top of his shoulder, sucking up a deep mark. The danger of Simeon slipping up and actually breaking the skin merely sent his nerves aflame. The threat to them both, serious and real, but it did little to calm his desire. He burned. Simeon seemed as aroused as he, the man above him rocking his hips in time with Angel's panting breath, long cock sliding in sweat, rubbing over his hole, making him clench furiously. Simeon's torture continued, his lover leaving stinging marks behind over his neck, to his other shoulder.
His arms ached from being held above his head and yet being held down and touched. Never felt so fucking good. Simeon was barely allowing him enough room to breathe, let alone trying to reciprocate. Usually he hated having no control. But Simeon knew. He just knew that he needed to have control stripped from him. His body adored and bruised in the most delicious of ways. Letting Simeon take over was as easy as breathing. And it amped him up even more that Simeon knew what he needed. Angel turned his head and Simeon kissed him, tongues dancing around each other, lips clinging. Angel ended the kiss by biting Simeon's lower lip, tugging on the soft flesh and growling. "Fuck me now. Snack on me later." Simeon chuckled, a dark sound that made Angel's abdomen clench and his ass ache with need. Simeon let go of his wrists, powerful hands sliding down his back to his hips. Angel was lifted to his knees, ass in the air, knees knocked wide and fingers clawing at the blankets. He panted, biting at the soft fabric beneath him when a pop from a tube opening and a cool, wet finger on his hole signaled Simeon's intent. "Yes, please, yes."
"Shh, easy. You'll get what you want, I promise, Agra," Simeon whispered,
thick finger piercing Angel's ass without hesitation, expertly twisting and landing right on his prostate. More lube dribbled down his crack, and Angel pushed back on the fingers working him open. Simeon had a hand on his lower back, holding him in place, taming his body's urge to buck up under the intrusion, seeking more. Longer than he liked, and sooner than he wanted, Simeon withdrew his fingers. An Angel looked over his shoulder to see the vampire slicking his cock, the deep pink of the fat head peeking out of the foreskin, shiny thick pearls of fluid dripping from the slit. Simeon wiped his hands on the bedspread and grabbed Angel's hips, pulling him back as the broad head of his cock kissed Angel's hole. Angel tried to impale himself, but Simeon's unyielding grip held him immobile. The glide in was torture. Slow. Relentless. Simeon's cock filled him going deeper, opening him wider than any lover before. Angel's eyes closed and he fell forward on the bed, moaning as Simeon seated himself to the hilt, heavy ball smug against Angel's ass. The shaft in his ass made him ache, cool and foreign until his own body heat warmed the rock-hard flesh, making him squirm. It hurt, but in the best way possible, making him whine and twist on the bed as Simeon began to withdraw, giving him no time to adjust before Simeon surged back in with a snap of his hips. "Fuck me!" Angel gritted out, teeth snapping on the bedclothes, fingers raking the blankets. A feral snarl was his answer, and the bruising grip on his hips and the punishing rhythm surging against his ass took his mind apart at the seams. Body singing, nerves dancing, fire snapping behind his closed eyes. Angel submitted to his lover's fierce need, letting it drive him higher and higher. He barely noticed Simeon lifting him off the bed, pulling him so his back was plastered to Simeon's front, the vampire fucking up into him with short, powerful thrusts. His prostate sizzled, and pre-cum dripped from his untouched cock, balls tight, his breathing ragged and his heart ready to explode from sensory overload. Angel fell over the edge. He screamed, head falling back to land on Simeon's shoulder, his eyes now truly blind as he climaxed, hard. Spine bowed, legs shaking, Angel spurted across the bed, thick ropes of cum that fell with loud splats in time with his whimpers and gasps. Simeon shuddered underneath him, roaring as he slammed up into Angel, flooding him with heavy, wet pulses that seemed to fill every inner crevice. Angel panted heavily, fast breaths that left him dizzy. Simeon cradled him close, gently lifting him off his still hard cock and laying him down in a tangle of limp limbs. Angel dozed, occasionally jerking as his cock and balls twitched, aftershocks from his stellar orgasm echoing along his nervous system. He jumped when a cool, wet cloth skimmed along his ass and tender hole, cleaning him. He tried opening his eyes, but only succeeded in cracking them a sliver. watching as Simeon walked naked around the room, picking up their clothes and moving out of his line of sight. Simeon came back after a moment, speaking on a phone in a low murmur Angel was too well fucked to hear properly. Simeon hung up and came back to the bed. Cool arms slid under him, and Angel was quickly deposited under the covers, the dirtied top blanket pulled away and disappearing too. Simeon crawled into bed beside him, arms pulling him close, cool lips pressing a kiss to his forehead. He snuggled and sighed happily, utterly spent and exhausted. Angel had the mental presence left to make sure his connection to the veil was secure and thin, power seeping into him in a steady trickle, before letting sleep take him under. Angel woke with a start, sitting up so fast he made himself dizzy. Rubbing his eyes, Angel took in the room. A crystal chandelier hanging from the ceiling, set on low, providing more light than the heavily treated gray-hued windows. It was daytime, as best he could tell, since he could see outside the view of downtown impressive, the partial view of the harbor clear. The treated windows made the room feel shadowed and gloomy. He was alone. Simeon nowhere to be seen. The divot in the pillow next to his still deep, so the elder was there until recently. He went back to admiring the view, or trying to. Angel frowned, thinking Simeon was getting ripped off with the view since the glass was so thick and tinted, spelled and treated to keep the vampire from being exposed to the UV rays and radiant magic that would kill him. It was functional, but horribly inconvenient. Though Angel's spells would not work here, his sunlight reflection wards and runes would only function if they were based on an invitation.